And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Clint, you and I both use our given names. Well, my mother calls me Richard, not Rich. And your real name is Clinton?
Yes.
So,
I mean,
we sort of use our names.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, we don't use stage names.
Correct.
But a stage name is a time-tested way for entertainers to transform themselves, reinvent who they are, and manifest their dreams. In this episode, we explore this tradition and who's done it best. Welcome to The Age-Old Question. I'm Rich Price.
And I'm Clint Bierman. Each episode deals with another question in music fandom.
The kind of questions that Clint and I have been debating since we were in college.
So today, with the help of some smart people, we're going to come up with the answer.
Okay, Clint, what's today's question?
Today's question is, who has the best stage name?
That's the age-old question. Clint, let's start here. I found an article on masterclass.com. Have you ever done anything on Masterclass?
I had a year membership and I did many, many, many masterclasses.
This class is entitled How to Come Up with a Stage Name in 5 Steps.
Okay.
I love when people break things down into 5 simple steps. It works for me. All right, before I get into these 5 simple steps, I should point out that it was written by the artist known as Saint Vincent.
Oh, cool.
Her birth name is Anne Erin Clark.
Okay.
And we'll come back to her a bit later in the episode. But her article begins with presenting some reasons why people choose to take a stage name. And I think it's a helpful way to start this conversation.
Okay.
Number one,
avoiding confusion.
For example, the actor Michael Keaton, one of my favorite actors.
Yeah.
His birth name is Michael Douglas.
Oh.
So that would have been...
Yeah.
It would lead to some confusion.
Yep.
So he chose Michael Keaton.
Katy Perry. Her original name is Katie Hudson. Kate Hudson. There's another example.
Avoiding confusion. Number two.
Cultivating a persona.
So a stage name can help you immediately set an expectation around the aura of your persona. For example, Elizabeth Woolridge Grant. Ever heard of her?
Not yet.
She took the stage name Lana Del Rey.
Huh.
In part, to evoke the aura of the Hollywood ingenues that inspired her. And it does. Lana Del Rey sounds like a Hollywood ingenue of the 40s, right? Number three.
Simplifying their names.
Drake's full name is Aubrey Drake Graham. But he decided one name, the middle name, Drake. Nice and easy. Simple.
Solid, solid.
Number four.
To avoid being pigeonholed.
Some performers change their names to avoid being stereotyped by the music industry. Such is the case with Peter Gene Hernandez, who adopted the name Bruno Mars to avoid being pigeonholed as a Latin singer.
Totally.
And finally, number five,
paying homage.
Stephanie Germanotta,
Lady Gaga,
her name was inspired by the Queen song Radio Gaga. In part to pay homage to Freddie Mercury and the influence artists like him had on her music and her aesthetic.
All we hear is Radio Gaga, Radio Gaga, Radio was new, someone still loves you.
Freddie Mercury.
Also a stage.
Farouk Balsara.
Farouk Balsara.
So, one, avoiding confusion. Two, cultivating a persona. Three, simplifying their names. Four, to avoid being pigeonholed. And five, paying homage.
There's one more, to retain anonymity.
Oh.
It's more for porn stars, I guess. But, you know, you're a different person.
Right. We're going to add to St. Vincent a sixth category. Let's maybe go through quickly the Stage Name Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Now, this can either be a titan of music, or just a kick-ass stage name.
Great. First one, Ozzy Osbourne. John Osbourne is his name. He struggled with dyslexia as a kid, and his classmates taunted him, calling him Ozzy, and he just kept it. Now he's Ozzy Osbourne.
And Ozfest is way better than, like, Jawfest.
Jawfest! Yeah, get in, man! Crazy,
but that's how it goes. All right, how about Elton John? Born Reginald Kenneth Dwight. Reggie Dwight.
That's two first names.
Could Reggie Dwight have taken the world by storm? I just don't see it.
Uh-uh. He's got no last name.
Huh? His stage name was inspired by two influences. The saxophonist Elton Dean and the vocalist Long John Baldry.
And when I became Elton John, it was like a new lease of life. I didn't particularly like being Reg Dwight. It had too many unhappy memories and sort of... I hated the word Reg anyway. I mean, it's just a horrible name to kill a kid. It's like calling somebody Cuthbert or Egbert or something like that. So as soon as I was Elton, it was just great. I was just like a new personality.
How about The Edge? The Edge from the band U2. Here's an example of a guy who has the before his name. There's only a few out there.
Who puts the?
The Weeknd and The Edge.
Oh.
There's two that I could come up with. But The Edge, his name is David Howell Evans, and he got the name early in his career by members of the Lipton Village Surrealist Street Gang, to which Bono belonged. So the nickname is commonly believed to be derived from the angular shape of Evans's head.
So it was a pointy head.
Pointy head.
The Edge.
And you notice that he always wears a hat. Have you ever seen him without a hat on?
But what's interesting is everyone calls him The Edge.
The Edge, yeah.
For example, when The Weeknd is hanging out with his friends, are they calling him The Weeknd?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know what I mean? That's the difference. I think people call him The Edge.
Mr. The Edge? Like if you're meeting him for the first time.
Hello, Mr. The Edge.
Mr. The Edge.
All right, Shania Twain.
Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling all right. Gonna let it all hang out.
I mean, is that just the perfect name for a country singer?
Shania.
Shania Twain. It's like a onomatopoeia.
Yeah, it's like, and it's like twang.
Twang.
It's in there, yeah.
She was born Eileen Regina Edwards, or because she's Canadian, maybe it's Eileen Regina Edwards. She's from Western Ontario, and her stepfather was Ojibwa. And she said that she got the name Shania from the Ojibwe language, and that she said that Shania means I'm on my way. Okay. This is a chance for us to pause and say that you and I wrote a song for the Shrek 2 soundtrack called I'm On My Way.
But I'm on my way. Yes, I'm on my way.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Now back to Shania. According to her biographer, there doesn't seem to be that phrase that exists in the Ojibwe language. So I don't know why she told that story, what the truth is, but I think Shania Twain is as good a country star name as they come.
It's incredible. We saw a poster one time for a Shania Twain tribute act, and the band's name was Shania Twin, which is equally amazing.
You know what? We should do an episode.
A tribute band name. Like the Eagles. What was the Eagles one?
The Illegals.
The Illegals. Something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. My next one.
Yes.
Meatloaf.
Oh,
come on. Marvin Lee Adday. His father gave him the name almost as soon as they returned from the hospital. He was a big kid from the day he was born and said that one day his father saw him wrapped up in a blanket and pronounced that he looked like a meatloaf. And the name stuck.
Incredible.
So, yeah.
Could Marvin Lee Adday had a big hit with Bad Outta Hell? No, it had to be Meatloaf.
The sirens are screaming and the fires are howling. We're down in the valley tonight. There's a man in the shadows with a gun in his eye and a blade shining no so bright.
There's evil in the hand. How can you go with Meatloaf, though?
I know.
Like, that's like making fun of you in the name.
Right.
But he embraced it, and...
All right, we have to talk about Sting.
Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner.
Here's a clip of Sting talking about how when your parents name you, they don't really know anything about you yet. And so taking on a stage name is your way of giving you the name that actually says something about you.
Huh, what a concept.
You need to have this ritual where you change something deep inside you to become this other person. I mean, you can be born with a name. You can be born Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson. But for some of us, we need to change our name. And it's not something I did myself. It was a name given to me when I was 18. Your parents name you, but they don't really know who you are. Your friends name you, they know exactly who you are. You know, it's like, oh, you're Sting. And it suited me greatly when I was 18. I was very Stingian.
He got the name from a Phoenix Jazzmen bandmate because he used to wear this black and yellow striped sweater while performing. So he had this sweater, looked like a bee, Sting.
I love that. And there's a scene in the great documentary, Bring On the Night, about him putting together his first solo band after he left the Police. And it charts the band coming together, learning the songs, then ultimately playing the opening night in Paris. With the press conference, someone calls him Gordon.
Yeah. Is this some attempt on your part, Gordon, to
who's this Gordon character?
Isn't that your name, Sting Gordon?
Yeah, everyone calls me Sting. My
you
mother,
prefer that, dude.
My children call me Sting.
Even my wife calls me Sting.
Wow, is that true?
Wow.
All right, a great naming.
Yeah.
Eminem.
It's a great name.
So good. Marshall Mathers, obvious. It's obvious, but man, it's a really cool name.
It's good.
E-M-I-N-E-M. Side note, my son just played with us last weekend. He's 11, and he did Lose Yourself in its entirety with a live band.
It was incredible.
Oh,
I was there with two of my boys and my wife, and we were blown away.
Crushed it, right?
He crushed
it. It's such a hard song. Eminem is another good one.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment, capture, just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty.
Well, talking about rappers, how about Snoop Dogg?
Ah,
born Calvin Brodus
Jr.
Calvin Brodus Jr.
Yeah,
he grew up with the nickname Snoopy because his family thought he bore a resemblance to the cartoon character. But Snoop Dogg.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G. But I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky-ass hits like every single day.
Snoop D-O-double-G.
Double G, too.
And you just met him.
Yeah, I did. He's...
You were just on the NBC reality music show called America Song Contest.
Yep.
Josh Panda, our good friend Josh Panda, was a contestant. You went out because, A, you were the songwriter. You were... his sidemen on the show to a TV audience of millions of people.
Yep.
And Snoop Dogg was one of the hosts of the show. So yep. What was it like to
meet? So he's such a caricature. You feel like you know him, right? Like you've seen him so much through your whole life. You're like, oh, I totally know the guy. And then he's exactly what he is.
Right.
So my favorite Snoop story is the show's over, done for the night. I've changed out of my outfit. So the people are gone at this point. So now it's just like the crew and the artists are leaving the facility. And so I'm right behind Snoop Dogg as he's leaving. And he's got a huge joint in his mouth. And he's skipping out of the place because he hasn't smoked weed for 2 hours and he's jonesing. And so he's not allowed to smoke in the theater. But 10 steps out of the theater, there's a tent for him to smoke weed in.
It's the Snoop Dogg.
The Snoop tent.
Weed tent.
Yes. So I'm right behind him, and there's that moment where I could have followed him into the tent And I'm sure I would have gotten tackled by security. Right. But there's a small chance that he just would have been like, hey, man, come on in. Oh, and I didn't do it. I got scared.
Laid back. With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Calvin Brodus Jr. Here's a good one.
Yeah.
New Zealand-born musician Ella Marija Lena Jelic O'Connor. Otherwise known as Lord.
Oh.
Yeah.
But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose, dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room, we don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams. But everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash, we don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royal.
There's an example of a serious handle. Ella Jelic O'Connor doesn't ring.
No.
So that's the, I mean, a lot of these, it seems, once you read the name, you're like, oh, I get it.
I get it.
A lot of it's pronunciation. Like, I can't pronounce that.
Right.
So it's hard to have a name that's out for the world to know if you can't pronounce it on a first look.
What about Robert Zimmerman, known to us as Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
Here he is on 60 Minutes talking about how his own self-identity didn't match his birth name. He says, some people get born to the wrong name. And the wrong parents.
That was
more like
Sling
Some
Blade.
People call it a Sling Blade. I'll call it a Kaiser Blade.
Why did you feel you had to change your name?
You have an identity of yourself that maybe others around aren't aware of. So you got to start over again.
So you didn't see yourself as Robert Zimmerman?
And for some reason, you know, I never did.
Even before you started performing?
No, even then. Some people get born, you know, to the wrong names, wrong parents. I mean, that happens.
You can imagine, though, that line about some people get born to the wrong name and to the wrong parents. That's almost like a lyric from one of his songs.
Huh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, for the first year of my son Sam's life, we called him Bill. Because he looked like a Bill.
Interesting.
Yeah, we just called him Bill. And then as he grew a little bit, we're like, okay, no, you're Sam. But like, he looked like, he was like stocky and like, hey, Bill. I got one.
Okay.
John Rogers Stevens. Also known
John
as...
John Rogers Stevens.
John Legend.
Oh.
So John Legend is named John Legend because his friends... called him a legend.
Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges. All your perfect imperfections.
He says, let's just go for it. People are going to pay attention and I'm going to either live up to my name or I'm not. And then he added, my bet was on me trying to live up to that name. So that's
cool.
An interesting way to put it. You know, he took the name and then... he's like, I can't not be a legend if I call myself Legend.
Can we call my bandmate Greg Naughton?
Oh.
Hello?
Greg, you're on the age-old question with me and Clint.
Hey, Greg.
I am?
We're surprising you. Today's episode is about the great stage names.
Stage names? Oh, yeah.
You and I first started playing together. We agreed that Rich Price and Greg Naughton... in the current climate, they weren't going to cut it, right?
Well, you know, it sounded a little pedestrian, I guess.
What were the names that we came up with for ourselves?
I think we were inspired by, at that moment, I don't think we even knew his music at that point, but everywhere we went, we were following a guy who everybody was talking about named Alexi Murdoch.
And we thought, that's just a cool stage name.
Who I now am a great fan of. I think he's amazing. But so we decided to come up with, you were Skylar McClintock. That was going to be your new stage name.
Skylar McClintock.
And I was going to be Little Eddie Moskowitz.
Little Eddie Moskowitz. And so we're this acoustic duo, Skylar McClintock and Little Eddie Moskowitz.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, that sells itself, right?
That is, I would go see that.
That
oh, man.
All right, well, thank you. We put you on the spot, but we just wanted you to weigh in with the best stage names of all time.
thanks, buddy. I look forward to hearing it.
All right.
Bye, Greg.
Did you see it when the sun went out today? Did you notice that the sun just slipped away?
Hey. I have a stage name.
Yeah.
When I'm a rapper,
yeah.
If you want to like hire me for a gig.
Yeah, as a rapper.
As a rapper, I'm MCA period Blinken.
I tripped and fell, but I didn't get hurt. Till I hit my head on last week's dessert. Got bit by my laundry, didn't know it got mad. The ladies won't come over cause the place smells
bad. This place smells bad.
On the ceiling, it looks like modern art. The only sock I own is Uncle calling a park. I wish I had a girl that would return my phone call. The only friends I still hear from are calling through the wall.
You think that I'd learn?
MCA Blinken.
That's my name. Incredible. How about Alicia Keys?
This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire.
When we were talking about the Rolling Stones in an early episode and we talked about Bobby Keys, their great saxophone player.
Who's not a Keys player.
And you were like, why is he not a keyboard player?
Yeah.
Alicia Keys is a keyboard player. Her name is Alicia Cook. And you know what? Her husband's stage name is Swiss Beats.
Huh.
So that might be the best couple stage name.
Wow. I didn't even know they were together. I've heard of both.
She's on top of the world.
I don't even know how to pronounce this name. Belcalis Almanzar. That's Cardi B, y'all.
You on hot, bitch, I'm on hot too. I pull up to your window, I drive through. Come get shot with bullets, no.
He is actually short for Bacardi, like the rum.
Oh.
Her sister's name is Hennessy, Cardi B explained to Jimmy Fallon. So everyone used to call me Bacardi, and I started calling myself Bacardi, which then became Cardi B.
That's cool.
Yeah.
David Bowie, he was born David Jones, and he initially started using the stage name Tom Jones, but there was another singer already using that, and by the way, that Tom Jones,
it's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
He was born Tom Woodward.
Huh.
So David Jones decided in 1965 to use the last name Bowie because it was the last name of one of the characters in a 1960 John Wayne movie, The Alamo.
Some words can give you a feeling that make your heart warm. Republic is one of those words.
That's so great.
This is a tangent, but I recently saw a guest appearance from Ricky Gervais talking about meeting and ultimately becoming friends with his musical hero, David Bowie.
Of course, Ricky, you famously became friends with your kind of musical hero through extras.
Oh, David Bowie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my hero for music for about 25 years. And yeah, then I met him and I invited him to do extras and he said yes. Just incredible. I co-wrote a song with him, the song that we sing in extras, and I sent him the lyrics and I called him up. And I said, "Did you get the lyrics?" He went, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Can you give me some sort of like retro, like Life on Mars?" And he went, "Yeah, I'll just knock off a quick fucking Life on Mars for you."
That's amazing.
Wow. So we've mentioned Sting, we've mentioned Bono and The Edge. What about Questlove?
He's got a question mark in his name.
That's got to be one of the coolest.
That has got to be one of the coolest. Right? It's question mark U-E-S-T-L-O-V-E.
Everybody told me that this planet was small. We used to live in the same building on the same floor. And never met before until I'm overseas on tour. And peep this Ethiopian queen.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, born Anthony Ray.
So your girlfriend rolls a Honda. Playing workout tapes by Fonda. But Fonda ain't got a motor in the back of her Honda. My Anaconda don't. Want none unless you got buns, hun.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, that's a good stage name.
That's pretty good. How about Pat Smear?
Pap Smear?
Pat Smear, yeah. Like, he chose Pat Smear. He's the guitarist for the Germs and the Foo Fighters. He played with Nirvana.
And he chose Pat Smear.
Pat Smear. He was born George Ruthenberg.
Speaking of George, how about Yorgos Panagiotou?
Who that?
I want
chose the name George because it's the English equivalent of the Greek name Yorgos. And then Michael after one of his uncles.
Huh.
George Michael.
George Michael.
Flea.
Oh, I didn't get Flea. That's
or
a good one.
Michael Peter Balzari.
It's funny. Every time we try to say the name of somebody with a stage name, we can't say it.
Right.
I mean,
hence. What about your guy, Axl Rose?
Axl Rose and Slash. Both and stage names. Slash is Saul Hudson.
Slash is a cool stage name.
Yep. That was given to him by his friend's dad, because Slash used to just come in and he was all hyper and like he'd like come in and then he'd leave and then he'd come back, you know, so he called him
so
Slash.
It had nothing even to do with
guitar yet,
slashing on a guitar.
Nope. Engelbert Humperdinck, he was born Arnold Dorsey. So he went the opposite way.
Totally. That's the kind of name that you get that a stage
get
name
away
for.
Yeah, right. Here's another one. Yngwie Malmsteen, yeah, who we've talked about before.
Yeah.
That was his stage name. His real name is Lars Lonerback. Yngwie. Y-N-G-W-I-E. Y-N-G-W is not...
No.
That's not a word.
No.
Yngwie.
How about Elvis Costello? Elvis Costello's real name is Declan McManus.
Ah, Declan McManus.
His dad was a musician whose stage name was De Costello. So the young Declan took that surname and borrowed Elvis from Elvis Presley.
Wow.
Oh, it's so funny to be seeing you after so long, girl. And with the way you look, I understand that you were not impressed.
Side note. Elvis Costello has done some notable co-writes with Paul McCartney, and those songs are credited as McCartney and McManus.
Ah.
In the late 80s, they did some writing together. One of those collaborations ended up on Elvis's album Spike, the song Veronica. Others ended up on Paul's album Flowers in the Dirt, including the lead single My Brave Face.
I've been living in style, unaccustomed as I am to the luxury life. I've been hitting the town and it didn't hit back.
Here's an interview where Paul talks about how that collaboration reminded him a bit of working with John.
So you're now a solo songwriter, yeah?
Right.
Right, we got to that stage right in life. Well, you had no one around to say to you, that's crap. So what did you do?
I did all right. You know, came up with the odd occasional sort of winner and stuff. So for this new album that I've done, it was suggested I might want to hook up with Elvis Costello. I'd liked a lot of what he'd done. And the thing is, when we came together, there were similarities, really, between him and John, in as much as, like, they both got specs. So sort of people with glasses, that, you know, they've got a different sort of attitude to the world, I think. I mean, I don't mean that as a put-down. They can be a little bit more introvert, a little bit more of a pussycat, a bit more aggressive on the outside, which John was. So it was good fun. We sat down to write some stuff. We enjoyed each other's skills, I think. He would, you know, help me in certain things, like words particularly, which he's full of. You know, he's very wordy. In fact, at one point, he's got a bag, you know, with a lot of books in it, and they're all things he's heard in pubs or little things that have occurred to him, little sayings, little titles and stuff. He's got a lot of stuff. And I made the mistake of sort of saying to him, well, have you got any ideas? Reach for his bag, have I got any ideas? And then 50 million ideas come out.
On my hands. Now I
final note on this collaboration, and I admit we're going a long way away from the topic of stage names, but it was during this collaboration that Elvis Costello specifically asked Paul to bring his old Hofner bass to the session. Paul hadn't played that bass in years. Huh. And that rekindled Paul's love of that particular bass. And here we are in 2022, and Paul's still using that bass.
Same bass?
It's that same bass.
God, that's amazing. That's worth some.
And while we're on the subject of the Beatles, tangentially, we should mention Ringo Starr.
Yeah. Two R's.
Two R's.
Right. Like Snoop Dogg.
And instead of Richard Starkey, it became Ringo Starr.
Is Ringo your real name or is it a nickname?
It's a nickname.
What's your real name?
Richard.
Richard. How did the Ringo come about?
Because I wear four rings.
Fair enough, yes. Let me ask you quickly, if you've
I'm
got...
I'm not called Ringo.
No, I can see that. I hope the camera can.
It's called Hando.
You ever heard of Buckethead?
Yeah.
How about your entire thing being wearing a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on your head?
We'll talk about anonymity.
Yeah. Who's Buckethead? I'll tell you who he is. He's Brian Carroll, but I don't know what he looks like.
Is he, though?
Yeah, right?
Like, you could be Buckethead.
I am Buckethead.
As I mentioned, we both go by our birth names, but I was thinking that maybe we should pick up some stage names
okay.
for ourselves.
Today?
Of course, there are formulas for this, right? We're going to pick some stage names, okay? This is a fun way to do it. The color of your underwear that you're currently wearing and the last thing that you ate.
Ready? Black egg and cheese. Black egg?
Black egg. And you know what? I would be black chips.
Black chips and black egg together again. That's a duo. Oh, my Lord.
This is an impossibly large subject, and we haven't discussed Stevie Wonder, born Steveland Hardaway Morris.
You can't even imagine how many people use stage names. Even people you think aren't using a stage name, it's a stage name.
Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell's not a real name?
Roberta Joan Anderson.
Jeez. Gene Simmons? Gene Simmons is Chaim Witz. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
We didn't talk about why Freddie Mercury is Freddie Mercury.
Tell us about that.
It's from a song. It's from a Queen song called My Fairy King, which he wrote in 1973. And the lyric that he wrote is, Mother Mercury,
look what they've done to me. I cannot run, I cannot hide.
He took Mercury from that.
Hmm.
His boarding school teachers and classmates gave him the nickname Freddie, which his parents then adopted. So
from Farouk.
Farouk to Freddie. And then from this lyric, Mercury. And he wanted something like, you know, otherworldly. So.
And it is hard to imagine the world embracing him with the name Farouk Bulsara.
Because it pigeonholes him. I mean, that's it. Like, that's the perfect example of what that is.
Okay, Clint, we're going to do a new segment that we call the mini age-old question.
Mini age-old question.
This is a question within a question. Let's enter the conversation swirling around Neil Young and his stand against Spotify. Neil Young has always taken a stand. In 1970, when National Guard troops fired into a crowd of students protesting the Vietnam War, Neil Young and his bandmates Crosby, Stills, and Nash released a song that Neil had written that captured his outrage after seeing a Time magazine cover of one of the dying students.
Tin soldiers and Nixon coming, we're finally on our own. This summer I hear the drumming for dead in Ohio.
It's one of the songs we discuss in our episode about the greatest protest songs. Episode 15, by the way. 40 years after Ohio came out, the British newspaper The Guardian described the song as the greatest protest record and the pinnacle of a very 1960s genre. But as The Guardian also points out, the revolution never came. President Richard Nixon, who's called out by name in the song,
Tin soldiers and Nixon coming,
won a landslide re-election in 1972, which included winning the state of Ohio by 21 points. He's once again taken a stand, this time against Spotify, pulling his music from the platform because Spotify's most streamed podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, spread false information about COVID and COVID vaccines. So today we ask, will any of this matter? Will Neil Young change Spotify? Let's go back to 2009. That's when Joe Rogan launched a free podcast.
Joe Rogan Podcast, check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
6 months later, his show, The Joe Rogan Experience, entered iTunes Top 100. By October 2015, the podcast was being downloaded 16 million times per month. The Joe Rogan Experience continued to grow, and when Spotify was looking to make a big push into the world of podcasts and exclusive content, it signed the Joe Rogan Experience to a $100 million multi-year exclusive deal, a figure that actually may be as high as $200 million, according to the New York Times. His podcast is credited with adding almost 30 million users. That brings us to April 2021, when Joe Rogan began offering his opinion that young and healthy people shouldn't get vaccinated. Anthony Fauci slammed Rogan for making misleading comments. Rogan backed off, calling himself a moron and not a respected source of information. Still, in August 2021, Rogan suggested that vaccine passports would bring society one step closer to dictatorship. And on September 1st, 2021, Rogan tested positive for COVID and told his listeners that he'd begun a regimen including monoclonal antibodies, prednisone, azithromycin, vitamins, and a drug that is generally used as a horse dewormer. In late December 2021, Rogan's guest was a guy named Robert Malone, who had been the chief proponent of this horse dewormer as an effective treatment for COVID. In fact, when he tried to publish his paper on the efficacy of this treatment in a science journal, the journal rejected it due to what it stated was a series of strong, unsupported claims which were not backed up with any objective or balanced scientific contribution. On this episode, Malone told Rogan's listeners that societal leaders had hypnotized the public, and he went on to share a variety of baseless theories about COVID. This brings us to January 24th, 2022. Neil Young posts an open letter threatening to remove his music from Spotify if the platform did not remove Joe Rogan. Neil wrote,
"Spotify has a responsibility to mitigate the spread of misinformation on its platform."
In response, Spotify's founder Daniel Ek said,
"I do not believe that silencing Joe is the answer. We should have clear lines around content and take action when they are crossed, but canceling voices is a slippery slope."
So on January 26, at his request, Spotify removed Neil Young's music. So Clint, will Neil Young change Spotify? Is this just a blip?
Well, it's definitely a blip because I didn't even remember the basis of the thing. And right. I don't think one person taking their music off Spotify could in any way change anything about the platform or the society. Everyone has Spotify or Apple. There's only two, right? What do you think?
I mean, while I respect an artist for taking a stand, Neil Young is somewhere in Santa Barbara or Santa Cruz, wherever his mansion is, and he can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And his income is probably from doing a string of shows anyway, not from Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Spotify continues to be the primary source of revenue, the music of my band, mm-hmm. The Sweet Remains.
Yeah.
So it would be a extinction level event for us to remove our music from Spotify.
Right. Interesting.
Will he change Spotify? I think the answer is no.
I think no as well, because it's already
convenient.
It's past. And he's not, no offense to Neil Young, he's just not big enough.
Right. If this was Ed Sheeran.
If it was Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift and Neil Young and...
Right. But Neil Young no longer has the cultural relevance for anyone other than his supporters, who are, by the way,
listening to him on vinyl still.
Right.
Or CDs.
Right. So thank you, Neil Young, for taking a stand on something you believe in.
And I in no way am saying...
He was wrong.
He was wrong. God, no. I mean, definitely.
Right.
I think, if anything, other people got to step up.
Right.
But again, it's not going to be us because we
So that was an example of a mini age-old question.
Sliders.
Sliders.
Little questions.
Not quite hamburgers.
No. Sliders.
Mini age-old question.
Now, back to our episode about the best stage names of all time. All right, I'm going to pick my
Who's your favorite stage name?
My favorite stage name, the best stage name, I think has to be Elton John. I mean, the upgrade, the ways in which that name change freed him to be this gender-bending, flamboyant rock star, as big a star as there was in the 1970s. I don't think he could have done that named Reggie Dwight.
The funny thing is, it's all first names. Reggie Dwight.
Right. Elton John. Right. Four first names. I think U2 could have been U2 had Bono been named Paul Hewson.
Mm-hmm.
I think Elvis Costello would have been just fine if he had been Declan McManus.
Mm-hmm.
But Elton John, I think the decision to change his name was a significant part of his success.
And he wrote kick-ass songs.
And he wrote some kick-ass songs.
But he was a songwriter before he was a performer. So, and we talked about it in that episode, right? It was like, it was... later that he changed his name once he started becoming the artist, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And can you imagine 100,000 people in Hyde Park, London? The crowd buzzing, electric with anticipation. The MC steps up on the stage and says,
"Ladies and gentlemen, give a warm London welcome to Reginald Dwight."
Oh, God. So I'm going to go with Questlove.
It's a great name.
Great name. It's got so much hope and like mystery to it. And there's a question mark in it. That's so cool.
So cool.
All right. So one thing we didn't talk about is our very good friend Josh Panda.
Oh, right.
Which is a stage name. Right. We actually know someone with a stage name.
Right.
Well, I think we did.
We did
something.
We did quite a lot.
We touched the surface.
And by the way, I want to say... if you're listening to our podcast and you ever want to laugh quite a bit, listen to us at half speed. Because it sounds like we did the whole episode drunk.
Oh my God, I've never done that.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. So right now, do me a favor. If you're listening, put us on half speed. And we're just going to talk about how funny it is to speak half as slowly as we normally do. And I'm going to tell you, Clint, I love you so much right now.
Oh,
you know, when people get drunk, they're like, man, I love you.
I love you, man.
I love you, man. That's going to sound very funny at half speed.
I can't wait. Maybe this should be a segment on the show.
Right. This is the drunk 5 minutes.
That's where we talk about another thing.
Yeah. If you've got some suggestions for a future episode, questions that you've wondered and you want two quasi-qualified individuals to answer... please let us know.
Let's also plug Brian's podcast. We've both been on Brian's podcast.
Thank you for saying that. You and I have both been on recent episodes.
Yep.
And I just listened to the episode where he interviews you. And I have to say, I learned a bunch of things.
Okay. What did you learn? They're so funny. It's like we've known each other for so long.
So Brian's podcast is So the Story Goes.
Yep.
And what else can we plug?
Shweeby. Shweeby having fun? Shweeby playing Shweeby? Coming soon.
This is a yard game, a backyard game that Clint has invented,
mm-hmm.
and you actually patented.
Yes, correct.
And if you are listening to this and you are a senior executive at Walmart, let me just tell you, there is an opportunity to get in on the ground floor.
Yeah, and I'm looking for that person currently, and... we're in full production right now.
I've played this game. It's a great time.
Great time.
We're not going to tell you too much about it because we just want to seed the interest. We want to sow some intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be telling you more about the game Shweeby in due time.
All right.
We hope you had fun, as much fun as we did. And we hope you'll join us again next time when we answer another
age-old question.
Follow us on Instagram at The Age Old Question.
Facebook, The Age Old Question.
We hope this conversation has sparked some ideas and thoughts of your own. Let us know in the comments.
But let's be kind, people.
Yeah.
No hating.
No hating.
Progressive presents Adjusting to the Suburbs. You used to associate crickets with silence. But since you bought a house in the suburbs, you know crickets hate silence. If any other creature realized rubbing its legs together made a piercing, high-pitched noise, they might think, maybe I won't do that. Constantly. All night long. Luckily, you can save with Progressive by bundling your home and auto. Now that's something to make noise about. Just not constantly. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.